Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Knowledgeable.
Listen, here's what's wrong with your hypothesis, your theorem, your supposition, your postulate.
Honest.
If that front ain't in gangsta, your back end won't be able to show its full potential.
Understanding.
You're going to suck. You're going to suck for the next couple of years.
Passionate.
I'm all over social media. I live it.
This is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hashtag facts.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Now, here's Kevin.
Well, I think what it would have done, it would have given us a better idea as to what we had to focus in on, what we had to hone up, how we needed to approach it with our players, with our position guys. I think that's the thing that we missed, was not having an understanding, not having a feel. As I told you guys, as I look at it, the mistake I made, was my approach was wrong. I should have made it as big a competition as possible. And that's on me. I wanted to try and give a guy that I thought was ready to take a step, every opportunity, try and build that rapport, that relationship he needed with his teammates. And that would have been something that we may have been able to see sooner and could have done something differently, perhaps.
That was Ron Rivera yesterday, admitting that he made a mistake not having a more serious competition last summer. That last line is a complete reflection of how he felt after the fact of not having a competition for Dwayne Haskins last year. He's going to have that this year. Do you believe him? Do you believe that Ryan Fitzpatrick, who everybody believes and John Keim wrote that even though Rivera didn't necessarily say it during his presser, that Fitzpatrick is the starting quarterback when training camp begins. But he said, we're going to have a competition. We're going to have a good competition. You'll hear the rest of what Ron Rivera said yesterday after the final day of minicamp. Good morning. It's a rainy Friday. It's still Friday, though. I love Fridays. I think everybody likes Fridays. It's going to rain all day. The one thing I've noticed, Brendan, and I meant to mention this to you yesterday when I opened the show and I just got sidetracked. I forget what we were talking about. But yesterday when I walked out of my house, the cicadas were not nearly as loud as they had been. If anybody's got an update, and I was searching for one and figured that somebody would have like a day-to-day cicada website update, how far away we are from the end of this, it feels to me like we're nearing the end. They're flying around pretty good, and last weekend seemed to be the height of it, but I've heard the noise going down and down this week. And maybe they're all made it up at this point. The rain, obviously, is the reason there was no noise this morning. But if anybody's got an update on that, just call or, tweet me at Kevin Sheehan DC. I was actually reading something the other day. Now that I did not mean to go down this path, but I was reading something the other day about how the beach, the Eastern Shore, and Southern Maryland in particular, don't have cicadas. And the reasons why they don't have cicadas were pretty interesting. During the colonial period in particular, they cleared a lot of that land down there for agriculture. They got rid of so many trees. They essentially deforested those areas down on the eastern shore. So without the trees, and cicadas depend on trees, that's why they don't have cicadas. There was another reason, too, that had to do with glaciers. That essentially that area was submerged underwater during times when glaciers receded and sea levels rose. And we're talking about, I think, like 75,000 to 100 years ago. I thought that was interesting. One sort of natural reason why cicadas aren't at the beach and down on the eastern shore, and then one sort of man-made reason or man-made impacted reason for cicadas not being down on the eastern shore. I have not been down to the beach this summer. We've been working all summer. It's not even summer, all spring. And apparently everybody down there, they're living without them. They're not that disruptive for the most part, but I'll be glad when they're gone. We got a lot to get to today. The Rivera stuff we're going to spend some time on. He said a couple of things during his presser yesterday. A lot of the presser was actually on the vaccination. And I'll cut to the chase here. I think Ron Rivera is essentially, you know, proving to be a real advocate and a real player's coach. He is not throwing anybody under the bus, even though he says very clearly he'd love everybody to get vaccinated, but he's very much in that mode of I respect anybody's opinion and the reasons for it. And I think that's the smart tack to take. We won't get into that today. We spent enough time on that yesterday, but the quarterbacks came up and he definitely wants at least the perception to be that Ryan Fitzpatrick, Taylor Heineke, and perhaps even Kyle Allen, if he's healthy by the time training camp starts, that there's going to be a legitimate competition once camp gets underway. Fitzpatrick took pretty much every single snap with the starters during OTAs and mini camps. He worked exclusively with the starters. Heineke was the primary backup, but that's because Allen still isn't 100% and ready to go. But Ron Rivera is looking forward to having something that he did not have last summer, an opportunity to make a decision based on a competition. We will get to that at some point this morning as well. I wanted to start with an email from Seth. Seth is a longtime listener from Potomac. And every once in a while, I get these emails from various people. And Seth emails me a lot. And I've mentioned Seth before on the show. And he emailed me the following. He said, Sheehan, Rodgers to Washington makes a lot of sense. First of all, understand this. Rodgers isn't playing in Green Bay. Read the tea leaves. You haven't done a good enough job of reading the tea leaves. He is a spiteful person who cuts off relationships and doesn't turn back to them. Here's a man who cut off his family. He's cut off relationships with people like Danica Patrick after settling in and buying homes. And he is spiteful, and he is different. He is not going back to Green Bay, and the opportunity next year to face his former team, but more importantly, the coach that he did not like twice a year, Mike McCarthy, Washington would be in play for Aaron Rodgers. Thank you, Seth, for the email. And the pointing out that I missed reading the tea leaves on all this. I think we definitely know that Aaron Rodgers is a different dude, you know, and he, when he digs his heels in, he's already proven in his personal life that whatever the reasons are, whether he's right or wrong, he's not afraid to walk away. Most of you know this story. He has no relationship with much of his family. He did indeed buy homes, plural, with Danica Patrick and then broke that off. Who knows how long the new relationship will last, but he has a problem sticking with relationships, or at least figuring them out in a positive way, even if they end. He walks away and says, "See ya, you're dead to me." And if we believe that he's already done that with the Packers, then the Packers are the ones not reading the tea leaves. If the Packers are the ones thinking that he'll come back, that he'll settle in, that he's just trying to make them squirm a little bit right now. He doesn't make people squirm. He walks. He leaves. That's it. Jason Lockenfora wrote a story about Aaron Rodgers yesterday or the day before, and I was reading it last night, and he spoke to a lot of the things that Seth pointed out in his much more lengthy email to me. I didn't read half of it, but that Aaron Rodgers was never going to show up for OTAs, never going to show up for minicamp, and more likely than not, will not show up, period. He is going to make the Packers trade him. He's not waiting for 2022 to get traded. No amount of money is going to make him happy. He apparently made last year alone $105 million if you add up everything, including off-the-field endorsements. He doesn't need the money. Now, the Jeopardy thing to me, in being a Jeopardy fan, he's nowhere near the best host of all of the trial hosts that they've had in recently. In fact, I think I may have mentioned this the other day. The woman that's doing it right now, Bialik, what's her first name again, Brendan?
I think it's Miam.
Miam Bialik. Yeah. She was Blossom in the 80s as a child star, I guess. I didn't watch the show. People have mentioned that to me. She's been the best one, in my opinion. She's the best host. She's the quickest. She comes off as incredibly likable. A million times better than Aaron Rodgers, as was Anderson Cooper and a couple of others. Rodgers wasn't terrible, but in comparison, he was one of the first to do it, and I was excited for him because I thought he was good enough, but they've had too many people since who have been just better. I can't imagine that he's going to get that job, unless the ratings would just be so much higher with him as the host. But how long would that last if he's just an average host? Anyway, I digress. The point is that Seth made is you haven't, you know, considered the opportunities for a spiteful human being to deliver against the people that wronged him. Mike McCarthy twice a year, and he gets the Packers this year at Lambeau on Washington's schedule. Look, I would be very, very disappointed if the Packers made him available and Washington wasn't standing there ready to make an offer, and an aggressive one, day one. But at this point, we are June 11th, and I don't see the Packers trading him in the next month or two. You know, the real opportunity to get the most bang for their buck probably was before the draft, but I don't necessarily think that the value on Aaron Rodgers is much less because teams won't be able to get that value or get value out of the compensation until next spring. I think it's still going to be pretty much what it would have been leading up to the draft. This is two firsts, two seconds, a key player, or three firsts, a second, and a player. It's something like that. It's a haul you're going to have to give up. We've had the conversation before. I'm not initiating the conversation again. I'm just bringing up what Seth emailed me because I think that he emphasized a point that we haven't emphasized, which is Aaron Rodgers' overall personality. We've talked about it. And once he digs his heels in, he does not change his mind. And number two, he might be looking for an opportunity to use some of that, you know, innate spite to wreck three opponents a year, or certainly this upcoming season. You get Green Bay at Lambeau and you get Mike McCarthy twice a year moving forward. I mean, Mike McCarthy's not the coach in Green Bay anymore because of Aaron Rodgers. It is amazing to me that if it is the general manager, Gutekunst, who is the reason, if I'm Mark Murphy, I would have already walked down to his office and said, Brian, love you. Pack your bags. You're gone. If that's even what would make the difference with Aaron Rodgers. I do have this sense, though, that Washington is settled now on 2021. And it wouldn't surprise me, although it would disappoint me, it wouldn't surprise me that if Aaron Rodgers ended up being available and being made available over the next few months before the regular season starts, it wouldn't surprise me at this point if Washington were not involved. It would disappoint me if they weren't involved, but it wouldn't surprise me if they're not. I think that they feel like they've got a pretty good roster, and at quarterback, they have upgraded from where they were last year, and that they've got a chance to be much more dynamic. By the way, Ron Rivera was really upbeat and positive about Taylor Heinicke. We will play some of what he said in a little bit. The Aaron Rodgers situation continues to be one in which he's got his heels dug in. The Packers are probably going to wait to see what happens at the beginning of training camp. I can't believe that he reports to training camp. I think he makes him squirm. Who knows? Maybe even Aaron Rodgers loves football more than he loves anything else. And as they get closer to the regular season opener at New Orleans, by the way, it's that first Fox second half of a doubleheader feature game, you know, Green Bay at New Orleans. It probably won't be if Aaron Rodgers isn't a Packer, but perhaps the only thing that will make him turn back to somebody that he's already, labeled as dead to him, maybe it's football. But Jason Lockenfora wrote pretty extensively, don't hold your breath. This dude is not going to play in Green Bay. By the way, they were really raving about Jordan Love during the minicamp this week. All right, when we come back, I do want to talk about the two NBA games from last night. I did not stay up and watch the Clippers live. I did, however, get up about 2.5 hours ago and watched the game. It's so much easier to watch a game when you can just fast forward through all the commercials. I have thoughts on both. Again, the NBA playoffs have been great, and the Bucks-Nets game last night was truly one of the most unique of the NBA playoff season so far. We'll get to that next. Rivera coming up. Matt Parris from the Washington Times covers the football team, will be our guest at 8. Nats fans Bob Carpenter will be on with us a little bit later on in the program at 8:30. The Nats and Giants were rained out last night, so you will get a game tonight at Nats Park. With Max Scherzer on the bump, and then you will get two on Saturday. So I am assuming the two on Saturday, when it's a split doubleheader, those will be seven-inning doubleheaders. I know one of the games, the Saturday night game, Brendan, was a scheduled Fox national television game. Is that going to be a seven-inning game because they're playing two in one day? It probably will be, right?
Yeah, I would assume that it's going to be 2 7-inning games on Saturday.
I wonder how that works when you've got a national television game scheduled. That the game Saturday night was supposed to be a Fox national TV game. They'll just televise it even though it's a 7-inning game, or will they switch it to something else? I guess they'll just televise it as a 7-inning game. Maybe they've got, a split national game there in that particular spot on Saturday night. I'll look that up during the break. When we come back, what happened last night to the Brooklyn Nets, and are the Clippers dead down 2-0? Well, they weren't in their last series, but Utah is much better than Dallas. More on that coming up when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com. We are also on the Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage
to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Out to Durant. Durant, one dribble, fires it up. Oh, back of the rim. Jubilation here in Milwaukee. The Bucks are right back in the series.
Milwaukee held the Brooklyn Nets to 83 points. It was 86-83. It was the lowest scoring game of the NBA playoffs so far. Real quickly, Dan on Twitter, he tweeted me at Kevin Sheehan DC. Why would we want such a spiteful human being, referring to Aaron Rodgers, leading our football team? I don't want this guy leading my team. He turned his back on his parents, his family, his hometown of Chico. He's despicable. No thanks. why would we want him? Because he was the MVP, and he's one of the 3 to 5, maybe 6 greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game. He's playing at a very high level, and this organization hasn't contended in 30 years, and they would contend immediately with him at quarterback, despite what kind of human being he is. So, I'd want it. Real quickly, the Nats are one of 3 games on Fox Saturday night. The Cardinals-Cubs is the lead game, with Buck and Smoltz calling that game. The Nats and Giants are a regional Fox game, which will now be a 7-inning game as part of a split doubleheader tomorrow to make up for the rain game last night. And the Astros Twins are part of that Fox as well. They typically have 2 to 3 games that they end up running on each Saturday night, you know, leading up to the point college football starts, and then you don't have that anymore. All right, the NBA last night. Let's start with the first game. Brooklyn losing the first in this series to Milwaukee, 86-83. They lost game 3 to the Celtics as well and then ended up winning the next 2. I do not think there's any chance in hell Brooklyn loses this series, and I'll get to the reasons why here momentarily. But the game was very unique in that, first of all, the combined points for Giannis Antetokounmpo and for Chris Middleton They scored 35 and 33, respectively. Middleton had 35. The Greek Freak had 33, accounting for 79.1% of the Bucks' overall points. So 68 of the 86. It's the highest percentage of a team's points by two players in NBA postseason history. Never happened before that two players accounted for that percentage of a team's points in a playoff game. For Brooklyn, it is the lowest scoring game for them of the season. And it happened because Milwaukee really bared down defensively. They also slowed the game down a lot. And slowing it down hurt them a little bit on offense after the first quarter when they got out in transition and Giannis got off to a pretty good start. They were up 30-9 at one point. They had a 21-point lead in the first quarter. The score at the end of the first quarter was 30-11, but Brooklyn got back into that game and had the lead by the time they got to early in the fourth quarter. So there are a couple of things about this game down the stretch that I thought were very interesting. Number one was after Brooklyn had taken the lead, with Kevin Durant really coming through in the fourth quarter. He was outstanding in the fourth quarter. He did not have a great all-around game. They really bothered him a lot. He was 11 for 28 from the floor. Scored 30 in the game, but a lot of the clutch points came down the stretch. Durant hit a three to give him an 83-80 lead late in the fourth quarter. I'm looking to see exactly how much time. I want to say that there was about a minute and a half left when he made that three. Minute 23 left when Durant made the three to give him an 83-80 lead, their biggest lead of the game. Middleton scored for Milwaukee. They missed on the other end. Joe Harris missed a wide-open 18-foot jump shot. Joe Harris, by the way, to me, was the reason Brooklyn lost last night. Ultimately, when a guy like Harris has 11 open looks and only makes one of them, that's the difference in a three-point game. He's one of the best shooters in the league, and he was off last night. And as they crowded Durant and crowded Irving, and they forced guys like Harris to make shots, usually he does. He went 1 for 11. If he goes 3 for 11, they win the game. Drew Holiday ended up giving Milwaukee the lead that they wouldn't lose. But it happened as follows. Up 83-82, Bruce Brown, who had a really good game, missed a shot on the other end as Durant gave up the ball. Instead of calling timeout and setting something up for Antetokounmpo, Budenholzer, the coach, said, just go. And Drew Holiday ended up making a spin move. Durant didn't help. He made a driving layup, scored 84-83. That was the big bucket that gave him the lead. The Nets missed on the next possession. Then they fouled. They got two free throws. And then Durant missed a three-pointer at the buzzer that could have tied it. But watching Tim Legler discuss this game very early this morning, he said the following, and most of you know I think Legler is as sharp as anybody in analyzing games. Tim still coaches. He's still very much involved in the game. And he said, Budenholzer basically took the ball out of Giannis's hands for the go-ahead shot, and it was the right decision. He said if they had called timeout, the Brooklyn Nets would have set their defense, Giannis would have had the basketball, and it wouldn't have ended well. I'll get to why in a moment. Instead, Budenholzer said, go, we're not going to call a timeout. And he trusted his highest IQ player on the floor, Drew Holiday, to make a play. Holiday had 7 points at the time. Middleton would have been the next choice. Giannis was probably the last choice for Budenholzer in that spot. And the reason is what we've talked about a little bit as we've discussed him and the Bucks. He is absolutely unstoppable when the game's played at up-tempo. You know, he and Westbrook don't have similar games. But in terms of the style of play and the style of game required for them to excel, it's got to be up tempo. It's got to be in transition. He's got to attack either early in a possession on a fast break, or in that secondary break situation where he can get going downhill against a defense that's still scrambling to get into position. When that happens, he's unstoppable. When the defense is waiting for him and is set, he's a mess. He has been in the postseason. His numbers in terms of total points are incredibly misleading. He can score, and he'll get enough transition buckets during the course of a game, but it takes him a lot of shots to get there. He had 31 field goal attempts last night. He was 14 of 31 from the floor. He was 1 for 8 from behind the arc. He, by the way, is 4 for 32 on threes in the playoffs. 4 of 32. And he was 4 for 9 from the free throw line. He is shooting in this series right now 24.3% from the free throw line. Let me repeat that. His free throw shooting percentage in this series is 24.3%. He's 6 of 19. So he is struggling when the game slows down and he's forced to make a play against a set defense. He doesn't make the right play often enough, and he's very uncomfortable shooting a mid-range. I actually like his stroke on his three-point shot, but he's not shooting it with confidence right now. They've got to figure out a way. They won the game last night, and they won the game with great defense. They won the game against Brooklyn without James Harden, who, by the way, would have had the ball in his hands more likely than not at the end of the game, more times than even Durant had it. Brooklyn's essentially won two games without Harden, and they lost one without Harden. Kyrie and Durant shot poorly last night, but really it was Joe Harris who was 1 for 11 and 1 for 7 on threes, and if you were watching the game, most of them were wide open looks. And if you give him wide open looks like that, he's not going to shoot 1 for 11 every night. The rest of their shooters, too, were terrible. James couldn't hit a shot. And Durant missed a ton of shots last night. So did Kyrie. Anyway, I thought the Bucks played hard. I thought they really defended. But ultimately, I'd be shocked if they win another game in this series. All right, to the late game last night, where Utah took a 2-1 series lead against my Clippers. I say my Clippers because my favorite player has me invested in the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard being my favorite player. Donovan Mitchell is ridiculous. He had 27 in the first half. He's uncheckable. Now, they got him a little bit in the second half. They went zone in the second half, and it really worked against Utah. And after being down 13 at halftime and down 21 early in the third quarter, the Clippers came back largely because Reggie Jackson was on fire in the third quarter. Jackson, who's played really well for the Clippers recently, ended up with 29 to lead the way. Paul George had another bad shooting night last night, and another night where he had some horrific turnovers and decisions. He had 27, and Leonard had 21 as a facilitator much of the night. A facilitator because they were, every time he went towards the hoop, it was Gobert helping out on him or somebody else helping out on him, and he made every right pass. He made every right play down the stretch. A lot of people will say, no, you can't give up the ball in that spot. But he had shooters, Morris and Jackson and Batum and Kennard and others in spots where the defense converged. He made the right pass. He had 5 assists. He should have had 12 assists last night. The team was 11 for 30 from behind the arc, but they missed every wide-open look down the stretch in what was a very tight game down the stretch. The Clippers actually led late in the fourth quarter. They end up losing the game 117-111. Now, with that said, Leonard's going to have to be more of a selfish kind of player from a scoring standpoint when they get home if they're going to turn this into a series. He got very involved when they got in trouble against the Mavericks down 2-0 in the last series, and he ended up being brilliant in games 3 and 4, and then when they went down 3-2 and needed him again, that's when he had 45. But he went for 36 when they were down 2-0 and led them to a win. He went for 29 when they were down 2-1. And then down 3-2, he went for 45. And then in game 7, he went for 28, 10, and 9. He really is interesting to watch in games that aren't necessarily going to end their season. Game 2 wasn't going to end their season. He is much more deferential in those games than he is when they have to win. So I would expect him to break out for 35 to 40 plus in at least one of these next two and be much more of a scorer, even though Utah is clearly, every single time he has it, looking to crowd, looking to help, or looking to double and make him give up the ball. And he's given it up to all of the right people in the right spots. And last night down the stretch, and Ty Lue said it. Ty Lue Hefner said it after the game. He said, we had 4 to 5 open threes with nobody around him, and we just didn't miss it. We couldn't have asked for anything more. And it was Leonard on almost every single occasion that initiated those open looks. But man, Brendan, Donovan Mitchell is turning into, if you didn't think he was already, a star, like a big-time star. He has, if you recall last year, he had the 57-point game in the bubble. He also had a 51-point game last year in the postseason. This year in the postseason, he had the 45-point game in game 1 against the Clippers. He averaged 28.5 against Memphis in their sweep, or in their five-game win over Memphis. Was that a five-game series or a four-game series? I forget. Against the Clippers, he's gone for 45 and 37. He had 29 in the first half. He's shooting 52.5% from the field. He's shooting 45% from behind the arc. He was 6 of 12 last night. He was 6 of 15 in game 1. And these are bombs. I mean, these are Lillard-like, Steph Curry-like bombs. He's been the best player in the first two games. He's been better than Kawhi Leonard. He's been better than Paul George, a lot better than Paul George. And one more player just to mention, because he was here for a while, Bogdanović from 2017 has been incredible for Utah on both ends. His defense last night was exceptional. But he's averaging so far in this series 17 a game, averaged 18.5 in the five-game series win over Memphis. I think the winner of this series, and I said going in, I liked Utah to win the series. I'm rooting for the Clippers, but I liked Utah to win the series. I think the winner of this series is in the NBA Finals. I think they'll beat either Phoenix or Denver, more likely than not Phoenix. Even though it'd be great to see Chris Paul in the finals for the first time. And then I personally believe that Brooklyn will win the title against either one of those two teams. Somebody said to me last night, you like Utah's chances to get to the finals, but you always say that you've got to have a top five player in the NBA to win a title. Well, since 2004, when Detroit won, every single team that's won the title has had a clear-cut top five player in the game. Is Donovan Mitchell in the top five? Probably not, but he's approaching it. He's approaching it. But they haven't won the title yet, and I would not favor them over Brooklyn in the finals. They're well-coached, though, man. You know, Quinn Snyder, they move the basketball. They play great team basketball. How long has he been in Utah now? He's got to be one of the longest tenured coaches in the NBA, right? Has to be, you know, after Pop and Spoelstra. How long has Quinn Snyder been a coach there?
Since 2014.
Okay. I would have thought longer than that. But still, I would bet that that's top five longest tenured in the league, right? Has to be. Probably pretty close. Popovich, Spoelstra, who after that's been with the same team longer than 8 years?
Carlisle has been with the Mavs since 2008. Okay. Terry Stotts had been longer tenured, but obviously no,
no more.
Stevens had been longer tenured, no more. Steve Kerr is longer tenured, and that's it.
Yeah.
So it's Kerr, Carlisle, Pop, Spoelstra.
Those three. That's it, right? Or did you mention one other?
Kerr, too.
Oh, and Kerr. Okay. Anyway, there's your NBA update. Good games again. The Nets-Bucks game was really an intense game. I give Milwaukee credit. They played great defense. I think the Giannis Antetokounmpo thing is fascinating to watch. I think it's in his head. I think he's lost confidence when the game slows down. And yet, he had 33 points last night, 14 rebounds, and 2 assists. He also was 14 to 31 from the floor, 1 for 8 from the 3-point line, 4 for 9 from the 1 for 8 from behind the arc, 4 for 9 from the free throw line, and had 5 turnovers in the game. That's becoming a regular thing. He is a turnover machine. All right, we got to get to the Rivera stuff. You'll hear what Ron Rivera said about a quarterback competition when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, Team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
What's trending is that the Nats were rained out last night. Nats rained out last night against against the Giants. That game will be rescheduled for tomorrow night as part of a split doubleheader. Scherzer will pitch in the first game tomorrow night. NBA playoffs, as we mentioned, the Bucks edged the Nets in the lowest scoring game of the postseason so far, 86-83. The Nets still lead that series 2-1. The Jazz late last night held off the Clippers 117-111. They've got a 2-0 series lead. Donovan Mitchell with 37 points. How about the NHL playoffs? We're now set. The Final Four is set. Vegas beat Colorado 6-3 to win that series 4-2. So the Final Four and Game 1s will be Sunday and Monday. It'll be Vegas against Montreal and the Islanders against Tampa Bay. Washington's minicamp wrapped up yesterday. Next scheduled team activity, the start of training camp in Richmond for a few days on July 27th. French Open, Djokovic versus Nadal today in a semifinal. Sissipas and Zverev in the other semifinal over in Paris. All right. After the final day of minicamp, Ron Rivera spoke to the team, spoke to the press, excuse me. And there were a couple of bites that got a lot of attention. You know, the day before it was Montez Sweat. Yesterday it was Rivera claiming that there is a quarterback competition that he is planning for this coming summer at training camp. This is, first of all, what he said about the quarterbacks about minicamp.
Well, first of all, how quickly things were picked up, how well fits jives with our receiving core, our tight ends, our running backs, the rapport he has with the offensive line, that was good to see. When Taylor got back in there, it was good to see Taylor. His you know, the one thing that you can say about Taylor is he's an extremely accurate passer, delivers a really good ball to the receivers. His rapport with those guys is also very good. So it's going to be a good competition. It really is. I look forward to it. I think it's going to push our football team and make our football team better. I just feel that, you know, going into this knowing we have a proven guy there that has the ability to lead us. But again, we have a guy in Taylor that shows us that he can do it. They're going to compete. They're going to push, and I'm looking forward to it.
There you go. Very, very effusive praise-wise for Taylor Heinicke. You know, it was good to see Taylor. The only thing you can say about Taylor is he's an extremely accurate passer. He delivers a really good ball to the receivers, and his rapport with those guys is also very good. It's going to be a good competition. He's looking forward to it. It's going to push his football team, make his football team better. He feels like it's going to, you know, he's got a proven guy there, but he's got Taylor. And Taylor can do it. They're going to compete. They're going to push. He's looking forward to it, Brendan. Quarterback competition, quarterback controversy. It's what this city always has and maybe always will have unless you have a true superstar at the position. I did think the he delivers a really good ball to the receivers is exactly what we saw when he played last year. When I heard him say that, and I read it initially in the transcript that they provide to the media, I thought, you know, in the Carolina game and then in the Tampa game, that's what he did. You know, he pushed the ball down the field. He was aggressive. He made plays with his feet inside the pocket, outside the pocket. But he delivered just such a nice, catchable ball. Like, it just, and I think they see that. And look, somebody as prolific as he was, regardless of the college football level he played at Old Dominion, somebody who threw for that many yards and completed that many passes has to be a pretty good thrower of the football. And we did see that. The big issue with Taylor Heinicke is size, experience, and health. You know, so he is a smaller guy. He doesn't have much experience, and we don't, and they don't have enough experience seeing him play real games because he's only played a few, and then he hasn't been able to stay healthy. But he can throw the football. He is a gamer. He can make plays, and he throws a very catchable ball. Or as Ron Rivera said, delivers a really good ball to the receivers. I think we saw that in the limited time we got to see him last year. Ron Rivera pushing this competition. Now, why is he pushing this competition? He thinks last year really was a missed opportunity and that he didn't do it the right way. Here's what he said about what was missed last year during an offseason in which they couldn't participate enough together, including at a minicamp.
Well, I think what it would have done, it would have given us a better idea as to what we had to focus in on, you know, what we had to hone up, how we needed to approach it with our players, with our position guys. I think that's the thing that we missed, was not having an understanding, not having a feel. As I told you guys, you know, as I look at it, the mistake I made, you know, was my approach was wrong. I should have made it as big a competition as possible. And that's on me. I wanted to try and give a guy that I thought was ready to take a step, every opportunity, try and build that, you know, that rapport, that relationship he needed with his teammates, and that would have been something that we may have been able to see sooner and could have done something differently, perhaps.
He's talking about Dwayne Haskins there. I think everybody picks up on that. He's talking about Dwayne Haskins there at the end. You know, I wanted to try to find a guy. I thought I was ready to take a step and take every opportunity. I try to build that rapport he needed with his teammates, and that would have been something we may have been able to see sooner and could have done something different perhaps. You know, essentially what he's saying there is if they had had more time together last year, Kyle Allen would have been the starter. Or Kyle Allen should have been the starter. I don't know what his promise, if there were, whether or not there was any understanding with Dan that Dwayne would be given every opportunity. I do think that certainly that was a conversation. I asked Ron on one of the visits he had here on the show about if there was any sort of conversation and any sort of commitment he had to make to Dan to give Dwayne a fair shot, and he said no. And I can't imagine that he would say yes if he really, you know, read the room. No one wanted to hear that, you know, to get the job, he had to give Dwayne a fair shot. But he was a first-round pick. And remember, he said that Carolina had Dwayne as a first-round grade. But if he had had more of a chance to see him in person and his rapport with teammates and how teammates felt about him, perhaps he would have realized this is not the path to go down. I don't know that it would have changed anything for the opener, but maybe the hook would have come sooner. Who knows? Here's the last thing. I want you to listen to something because there's a follow-up to the competition at quarterback conversation. He's asked by a reporter, so tell me more about this quarterback competition in training camp. How will that sort of manifest itself? Here's his answer.
You try to create, and I want to try and create situations that are going to be as game-like as possible. Want to be able to rotate guys so that everybody gets an opportunity to work with the same group of players. You know, you just try to do that and create that energy for guys stepping onto the field and knowing that they're working with the ones. And that's one of the things that, you know, that we've done in the past. That's how you find out about players. And one of the things that we did, you know, in Carolina was, to those guys' credit, our coach's credit, a guy that's a backup player will work with the ones, because we don't need to wait until the middle of September in the middle of a game, and a guy who's never taken a snap with the number one offensive line all of a sudden get in the middle of having to take a snap with the number one offensive line. John Matsko does a terrific job with that. Pete Haynard, all of our coaches do a terrific job of making sure their guys roll through, and at some point they will get a chance to play with what is the number one group at that time.
You did not get that with the previous coaching staff. I don't know that you got that much with the Shanahan coaching staff. You don't get that a lot in most situations. The number one takes all of, if not the significant majority, of first-team snaps. I think what he's telling you is that we are going to see Taylor Heinicke with the ones, you know, at least in that first or second preseason game at some point. So look towards that. Look, I think there are two follow-ups to these comments. In many ways, it's not like he said Fitzpatrick's in danger. He also didn't say directly that Ryan Fitzpatrick has the job and it's his job to lose, even though there will be a competition. Keim sort of wrote to that to a certain extent, you know, identifying which, you know, we know, you know, that Ryan Fitzpatrick basically, he believes, will enter camp with a firm grip on the starting job, even though the coach says there will be a competition. Fitzpatrick worked exclusively with the starters in the OTA days and in minicamp. But Rivera saying this is part in reaction to not being able to have a competition, a legitimate competition last summer, which I think frustrated him, and I think it ultimately led him to making the wrong decision, at least early in the season. He said, "I the mistake I made was my approach was wrong. I should have made as big a competition as possible. That's on me. I wanted to try to find a guy, and I thought Haskins was ready to take a step and take every opportunity." Twofold question. One, do you believe him? Do you believe that this is going to be a legitimate quarterback competition? And then two, what percentage chance legitimately do you give Taylor Heinicke? Because right now, Taylor's the number two. It's very interesting because I actually think they really like Kyle Allen. I think it's why they traded a fifth rounder last summer for him. I think that Scott Turner in particular, if he had had the ability as a more experienced offensive coordinator with perhaps a bigger voice last offseason, would have really pushed for Kyle Allen, somebody that really knew the system. Remember, in many ways, Scott Turner was, you know, on it was on a provisional license as well as an offensive coordinator. He had to prove that he could do it, and he was asked to prove that he could do it with a quarterback that he didn't want for the first four games. I think they really like Kyle Allen. I just don't think Kyle Allen's ready right now, although the word is he'll be fully ready and fully healthy by the beginning of training camp. What percentage chance do you give Taylor Heinicke or Kyle Allen of beating out Ryan Fitzpatrick? My answers on both of those when we come back. We'll open it up for phone calls at 301-230-0980. Do you believe, Ron Rivera, that there will be a legitimate quarterback competition when we start training camp in Richmond on July 27th? Will there be, as I discussed when we talked about this earlier in the week, the coaches, the key coaches, Zampezi and Scott Turner and the head coach, Ron Rivera, evaluating every day, what did Ryan do today? What did Taylor do today? Who's leading this thing? How do we feel? Is Taylor making progress? Taylor looked great today. Michael Phillips, I think, tweeted out or maybe even wrote a story yesterday indicating that he thinks Taylor Heinicke looked better in these offseason workouts than Ryan Fitzpatrick did. Is that what we're really dealing with? A legitimate competition? Do you believe that that's going to happen or not? And then if you do, what percentage chance do you give to one of the other two guys in beating out Fitzpatrick? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I'll give you my answer when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com. Don't forget to download the Odyssey app. Odyssey, you can take us anywhere, listen to any of our shows whenever you want. They've got a rewind feature, so if you miss something, you simply rewind and you can listen to it then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.